Give honor to the Spirit of God in this house and among the people of God, to Pastor Lanny, his wife, to my wife, to my mother, to all of us who bear the name of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am honored to be here this morning and to just share in the testimony of the work of God. I was just so thrilled to hear what God is doing, and to hear the testimonies that have gone forth. But this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. And you need to continue to talk about the things that God is doing. Because the more we talk about these things, the greater the anticipation is for the miracles. And one day you will see the dead get up. Amen. But we do not despise small beginnings. This is the day of the Lord, and I am certainly rejoicing. I'm happy about it. Thank God for my dear friend Lanny and my relationship with him down through the years. I remember when I first came to Mid-Atlantic Leadership Conference, I think Lanny was kind of frustrated with what was going on, and he was thinking about leaving, and I was just thinking about coming in because I was watching him and seeing his courage and seeing his boldness, and now he's talking about getting out. And I'm like, God, what you bring me here for? But he took a second thought, and he remained. And I thank God for our relationship down through the years. I remember when Lanny first fell on my shoulder and kissed me. I wasn't quite ready for that. And you know, I'm a man's man. You don't kiss me. but I've come to understand the importance and the value of relationship. And when you come close to somebody, there's a connection, there's a joining in the spirit that takes place. And I really felt that my spirit joined with his spirit. And so I feel like I'm right at home here among PRAG members. And what God is doing there, God is doing elsewhere, he's doing at Refuge. And so there's a common bond that we have between us, and I am appreciative of that relationship. But before I go on, I want to give honor also to my wife, Kathy Settles, 31 years come this March the 22nd. Amen. And some people talk about the other woman. My other woman is my mother. Of 55 years. Mother, would you just stand so everybody would recognize you? Amen. Amen. I thank God for her and my father, who went on to be with the Lord some 20 years ago. But I remember my father said to me one time, he said, son, your greatest message is going to be the one that you lived. And I have learned just how to experience God every single day. That nothing happens by happenstance. God is always doing something in the lives of his people because he wants to show and reveal himself to us in a unique way so that we can all have a personal testimony about how God brings deliverance and salvation to every experience that we go through. So I want to take a moment here, and I got to check the time. Okay, I'm going to take a moment here, and I want to talk about our calling, because God called us to make a difference. God called us to make a difference. We are not ordinary people, and yet the enemy would try to get us to think that we're just, you know, ordinary people, average people. No way. How can you be called ordinary when you've got the creator of the universe has taken up his abode in your life? And he is working through us both the will and to do of his good pleasure. That's not ordinary. The stuff that we're hearing about, the testimonies that are going forth, that's just not ordinary. That's not what ordinary people experience. A visitation from God Almighty. That's extraordinary. That's supernatural. And we've got to see him in the light in which he created us. A year ago, January of 2005, I began to talk about identity because I was hearing all about identity theft going on and how that it was becoming so popular in our society. And nothing is more violating than somebody take your identity, use it, and go out and purchase stuff and buy stuff and do stuff in your name. And so I began to really look at that and even began to look at my own personal life, how that having an identity is so important. It is crucial that we understand who we are in Christ and who God has made us to be. Because without it, then I find myself living beneath my privileges. There are certain rights that we have, inalienable rights. But those rights are given that we may give exposure to the purposes and the will of God in the earth as it is in the heavens. Let me go. I'm going to take you to a couple of scriptures, and we're going to elaborate a little bit. But we are called to make a difference. If you will, turn with me to John, the 15th chapter, verses 15 through 17. I'm not going to be before you too long, but I want you to walk away from this message with a clear understanding that God has called you unto himself and that he had you in mind from the very foundations of the world. I am not an accident. You are not an accident. You are called with purpose and destiny in mind. Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples in John 15, and he is communicating them that he is about to upgrade their fellowship with him. And he says in verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants or slaves, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." He's talking about this ongoing relationship that he had started with them, and he called them out from the world, began to expose to them the kingdom of God. He says in Matthew's, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Well, remember something. He comes and he's giving this statement about the introduction of the kingdom. There was an anticipation, even in Jewish culture, that there was a kingdom that was coming. And Jesus announces that it was now within your reach. It's within your grasp. And they were still having problems with it because even at the end of Jesus' ministry, they were asking about the restoring of the kingdom. But that word repentance took on new meaning for me recently in our conference there with the Mid-Atlantic leadership when Bill Johnson came and he defined repentance as a changing the way we think. Repentance is not just what I did when I came to Christ and asked him to forgive me of my sin, but repentance has to do with a constant, ongoing elevation of how I perceive things. How do I see things? Do I see things just from a level, an earthly level? Or have I moved into the elevation? And this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. You were once servants. So what do servants do? Servants obey whatever they're told to do. Servants are waiting for orders so that they can respond. But a friend, it's different. A friend works out of the intimacy of the relationship, and they know the heart of the one who they're in friendship with. And so he says to them, "I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me." That is crucial, because I need to know and understand that it wasn't me waking up one morning and making the decision to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That long before that moment came, God was tugging on my spirit and pulling from within and saying, "Come on home, son. Come on home, son. You're talking to one who was out there. You're talking to one who understands what it is to live prodigal living. And yet at the same time, to have an encounter with God while I'm right in the midst of my sin. And God calls me. He says, I've chosen you. You didn't choose me." Look around this room. We did not choose him. He chose us. He chose to bring us into a personal relationship with his son, Jesus. He chose to bring us out of darkness into the marvelous light. He chose us for this day. I hear people talking sometimes, I wish I was back in biblical time. I don't want to be back there. I want to be right here where God is manifesting himself. His glory is being revealed in the earth. I was called and chosen for this day. That's important. Because as I was talking a little few minutes earlier about this whole thing about identity, the enemy has really robbed the church of its identity. If he could keep us in the state of just being servants and not step into our rightful place of heirship to the throne of God, then we'll live beneath our privileges and we're always going to be striving and trying to make it and trying to please God. Jesus says, I'm elevating you. I'm bringing you to a new level of awareness of who you are. He goes on to say, but I chose you and I appointed you, listen to this, that you should go and bear fruit. What is the purpose of fruit? Is it for the tree? No. The purpose of fruit is for those who would come into proximity to where that tree is and taste something that will be of nutritional value to them. If I'm walking in the woods, I remember out where our church is, and it was in rural Washington, D.C. area, and there was a lot of fields around, and there was an apple tree on the other side of the hill. And periodically, me and some of the young boys would go over to the apple tree. We went to the tree because we knew that it had the ability to satisfy us. We knew that on that tree there was a season when that tree would be bearing fruit. We made it a point to go over, to walk over to where that place was. We would anticipate that there were going to be apples, and so we would take bags with us, and we would go and find that tree. The tree never did come and find us. We went to where we knew we could find satisfaction. And we enjoy the fruit of that tree. Jesus says, I called you, I chose you, and I put an appointment upon your life. And what's the appointment? To bear fruit. What kind of fruit are we talking about? We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not just for you. It's for those who you work with. Those who neighborhoods you live in. Those people who you meet when you go to the supermarket, those people that are out in the marketplace, they're eating from the fruit of the Spirit that is evident in your life. And you know what? The funny thing about it is that I never eat my own fruit. I've never eaten my own fruit. It's like the tree never eats its own fruit. The reason why? Because we were supposed to bear fruit. And fruit's supposed to be hanging off of us. What's hanging off of us? Love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, patience, meekness. It's on us, but we never, ever taste our own fruit. What brought us to where we are today is the fact that we ate one another's fruit. What God has deposited in your life, He didn't deposit there just for you. And a part of this whole thing about repentance and changing the way we think is to help us to understand we've got to see things from what? God's perspective and not our own perspective. Because when I start seeing situations and circumstances from God's perspective, I realize then that He has made a deposit in me to make me somebody that I could never be in and of myself. We are a people, a great and a mighty people. Let me go now to 1 Peter 2 and 9. Because in that particular portion of Scripture, Peter brings out a very interesting point. He refers back to an Old Testament Scripture, prophetic word, in regards to the children of Israel and why God called them and chose them. One scripture says that he didn't choose them because they was a great and mighty nation. He chose them because they were what? The weakest nation. Of all the people, he chose the weak things to show forth his strength. But he tells them here in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That you may show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are, whether you feel like it or not, a royal priesthood. We are of royal bloodline. As an African American, it is important that I needed to know my background. And in our family, the Settles family, we have been able to trace our roots all the way back to McCormick, South Carolina, to a slave owner by the name of Settles. And there were two particular slaves, Philip and Richard Settles, who were brothers. They came and they took on the name Settles when they were set free. Now, why is that important? Because that's a part of my identity as a human being. We're not able to trace back to Africa, but it's okay. I found out that even if I went back to Africa, I hadn't gone back far enough. Y'all with me? Because it's not about my natural. It's not about the physical. It's good to understand that if you're living in the natural. But in my heritage, as I began to read in Ephesians, the first chapter, he talks about God knew us. Listen to this. From the foundation of the world. He knew you. He knew me. And in 1950, he decided to bring me forth. And my mama and my daddy got together. Y'all know the rest. And here I am. I thank God for my mama and daddy. They gave me a physical form. But in 1973, I come to understand God was my father. I was born again of the Spirit. I was renewed again. I was brought back into my rightful place. And through the expression, through this flesh, God chose to reveal himself. How many realize that the all of creation is waiting, as the Bible says, on the manifestation of the sons of God? What are you waiting for? If creation is waiting on you and waiting on us, what are you waiting for? Because there has to be this uncovering, this revealing of God's will in the earth. It is the church who bears the responsibility of showing forth the glory of God. He said, that's why I created you. That's why I've called you. Royal priesthood, chosen generation, peculiar, different. We're called to make a difference. And when we begin to take on the right attitude and the mindset of knowing who we are in Christ, I'm an heir, joint heirs with him. I'm not just a mediocre type person. Doesn't matter what other people think, it's what he thinks. It's what he has said about us that makes the difference. So then we have to examine, how do we see ourselves? You know, the enemy would love to keep us enslaved to an old mentality. He would love to keep us bound by duty and obligation to a system that simply enslaves us over and over and over again. But when you become a friend of God, then it's out of our relationship. And do you realize every day God is sharing and opening up? He's revealing more of himself to us personally. I personally believe this, that nothing happens in my life unless my Father allows it to happen. If God can take care, I got a two squirrels that found this little hole in my roof and made a nest in my attic. And the Lord says, I know how to take care of them. And one of the ways he takes care of them is through me. I feed them. I was going to say I clothe them. But I give them residence in my roof for right now. I'm getting ready to have my roof fixed. So I'm going to give them an eviction notice. But my point is this. God knows how to take care of his creation. For when he created it, he looked at it and he said, everything is good. How much more do you think God wants to take care of you? Who bear his image and his nature. Who is called from the foundations of the world to be a reflection, an image of who he is on the earth. You think God don't know about what you might be going through? But don't you know he wants us to walk in faith, believing him, that just as that squirrel depends upon me, he don't fix nothing, he don't cook nothing, he just comes down to my back porch and he eats what I put out there. My mother started putting peanuts out there. I said, Mom, that's getting a little bit expensive. But my point is this, they are being taken care of. And it's through through God, our Father, who is the creator. How much more does he want to take care of you? Sometimes we worry about stuff that we ain't got no business worrying about. And even though the Bible tells us not to fret not because of evildoers, what do? We fretting all the time. Worrying about how are we going to make this note or how are we going to pay this bill? God says, I know you have need of these things. Don't you think that as a father, I would provide for you? We got to learn every day how to trust. I was on the phone the other day, and I had to call somebody, and I called the wrong number. And when I called the wrong number, this brother answered the phone. And he says, Pastor, I was just getting ready to call you. And he had a problem. And I said, well, it's just like God. Nothing happens by happenstance. I said, I'm thinking that I called the wrong number. I called the right number because I was being directed by the Spirit of God. I don't see those things until after they happen. But when they do happen, I realize that it's the will of God. It's the purpose of God being operated in my life. Had the opportunity to sit down and just minister and talk to him and walk him through a particular situation that he was doing. But I've come to realize that is the norm. He says, young man that was with me, he said to me, he says, wow, Pastor, he says, and does that happen all the time? I said, all the time. All the time. I'm not surprised anymore when God allows a person to come into my sphere of influence. I remember years ago when Bob Whitaker was around, we was out of town, we had gone to a conference, and while we was there, we decided we were going to go to the movies, check out a movie while we was there. And I go down. The movie was nowhere near crowded. It was during the middle of the day. And I'm sitting there. Bob has got, he's a couple of seats back, and I'm sitting in there, and a guy comes in. He staggers down the aisle. And I'm sitting there, and next thing I know, bloom, he sits right beside me, almost sat on me. And I'm like, at first I wanted to get upset. I'm like, why did this drunk man come all the way down this aisle, sit right next to me? And the Lord reminded me that I allowed him to come into your presence. Now minister the words of life. I had opportunity to sit down and talk with him a little later on. And after the movie was over, we went outside and he received Christ in his life at that time. Sometimes if we're not aware, if we're not conscious of who we are in Christ, then I could have got frustrated. Says, man, I'm moving from here. And he was smelling and all of that. But no, I understood something. If this man came into my space, if he came so close that he could fall all over me, that's not an accident. That's a purpose. That's God's purpose. He came to me because I have the Spirit of the living God living within me. And he needed to hear the gospel of the kingdom of God. Who better else to irritate? You think about it. The stuff that goes on your job. I know sometimes saints get frustrated. They feel like they're being treated unfair. They feel like they're being unjust on their jobs and they're not getting their due. But I'm going to tell you something. Your Father knows everything that's going on. And when the scripture tells us, when God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," make sure you don't try to be the one to get back. Make sure you're not the one trying to take revenge out on somebody else because they did you wrong. How are you going to do the Son of God wrong? Did they do Jesus wrong? No. It looked like they did him wrong, but they really did him a favor. They helped him. You remember the time when Jesus was ministering and they was getting ready to throw him off the cliff? And he says, "No, this ain't the right time." And the Bible says that he passed through them. I'm just simply saying that stuff is not just written in there for our amusement or good reading. That stuff is written in to remind us that we have the same capacity to deal with people who don't like us, despise us. Now, here's another scripture. He says, "Do good to them that despitefully use you." But yet we complain when folks begin to mistreat us and abuse us and talk about us and criticize us for no reason. They did it to Jesus. And guess where Jesus is now? He's in you. We are the body of Christ. And being the body of Christ, he said, "They persecuted me. Don't you think you're going to slip through the crack?" Paraphrasing. Don't think you're going to get through without any persecution for walking in the light of this gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I'm just simply here to stir up within you what I know to be the truth and the reality. Let me get a couple more scriptures here, and then I'm going to close it on out, because it's important that we understand that at one time the Bible says in that same 1 Peter 2:10, it says, "Which in times past," he says, "we were not a people, but now we are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I ain't been saved all my life. I don't know. Some of y'all may have been. I've been in church, but I ain't been saved. Here's what I mean by that. I grew up in the church. My father was the pastor. I pastored the church that my father founded and started. But I wasn't always saved. And I didn't always know the Lord. And I went through a lot of stuff. I went through stuff that I don't even care to talk about too much. But the fact of the matter is I went through it. I got through it. But I learned from those experiences just how much God loved me and just how much he cared for me, that when I wanted to turn my back on him and go the opposite direction, he never turned his back on me. That even when I was in my sin and in my trespasses, he was smiling upon me, looking upon me, and he was calling out. And it was almost like whatever it takes to get my son back in, I'll allow him to go through it. Went through hell, literally. But in going through hell, I come to appreciate heaven. Amen. After being there and done that, I know now that it is more glorious. And see, I want everybody that I know, that I have contact with, I want them to understand that there is a God who cares and who loves them. Because I was one of those at one time that didn't think God cared. I remember at a very early age, at the age of 13 or 14, they were talking about, and I heard them talking about, and I saw the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, coming from a Pentecostal background, for you that are not aware, we used to tarry for the Holy Ghost. And we would come down to the altar, and we would, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." And I would notice my friends would get it, and I'm like, wow, I want this. Holy Ghost living in my life, Holy Spirit living in my life. And I came down, and they told me, Lamont, you didn't get it. Come on back next week. I said, okay, well, I don't know what I did wrong. I must have missed it. And so I came back the following week, and I was tarrying for the Holy Ghost. And they said, Lamont, you didn't get it. Come on back. 3 times I did it. At the end of the 3rd time, I come to my conclusion was God didn't want to give me the Holy Spirit. So it was at that time, in my disappointment, I walked away from the church. I said, well, since God don't want to give me the Holy Spirit, I'm asking for it. They say, ask and you shall receive. Knocking the door shall be open. For whatever reason, God wasn't giving it to me. And I spent a number of years in prodigal living, living outside the will and the purposes of God for my life. But in reality, God used those experiences to help me to understand that when I come to my end, that's when he begins. I think a lot of times in our lives and the things that we deal with on a day-by-day basis, I think a lot of times we try to handle a lot of things, and God is saying, I'm waiting for you to come to your end so I can begin, so I can show you what I can do in this situation. But a lot of times, because we are so wanting to be in control, and God says, I'm always in control. I want you to understand that you are dependent upon me. I am not dependent upon you. But God will accomplish his will in our lives on a regular day-to-day basis. Why? Because we are now the people of God. Now, I know I might be preaching to the choir here because I know the heart of this man and I know what he's imparting within the lives of his people. But it is also important to understand that we are all growing. He says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, he talks about the office of the apostles, the prophets, the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists. And he said, they're there for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. What? Until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There is something that God wants to uncover in our lives. Another scripture says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency may be of God and not of ourselves. As long as I think I'm in control, as long as I think I can handle situations and circumstances that I don't need really to go to God, then I find myself at a disadvantage because I'm not trusting in the one who called me. I'm not trusting in the one who delivered me. I'm not trusting in the one who sent me. But when I come from the position that I understand that everything that's going on in me, it's not about me. It's about him. My life, the Bible says, is what? Hid in Christ Jesus. So it makes a difference when I begin to start thinking and elevating my thoughts to think the way the scriptures have already designed for me to think. I am to think heavenly. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I am there. We have arrived. Now, what we have to do is begin to implement, as I heard the testimonies about the deliverance and about the healing and about the setting free, you know, that takes place because you begin to realize you're elevated not from a position of earthly stature, but you're elevated from a heavenly perspective, and God has already done some stuff in your life that makes a difference. It would be interesting to come and see how many come back out for the healing this afternoon, because that'll tell you where your heart is. Now, I ain't trying to put you under no condemnation or like that. I'm just simply saying, when you have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, you want to see God in operation. You want that personal testimony. Last week I was ministering, and at the end of the message, well, actually, I wasn't preaching. One of my assistant elders were preaching, and right in the middle of his sermon, I begin to have this very sharp pain in my hip. Now, I've had knee problems. I've had back problems. I've never had a hip problem. So when I got up to close out the service, I kept having this sharp pain in my hip. And the Lord said to me, it's not about you. He said, it's not about you. So I said, somebody is having problems in their hip. And I said, I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on you. because I believe your deliverance is in this room right now. And several people came up that was having this hip problem. And we prayed for them, and sure enough, they were delivered. The pain was gone. Not only was their pain gone, my pain was gone too. I'm like, I'm walking around saying, man, I don't feel, it's gone. And that's when I began to realize God will sometimes allow an infirmity or affliction to temporarily get on you to get your attention, to say you need to be praying for somebody that's going through that situation. You follow what I'm saying? I come to realize that last week, Lanny, that it's not about me. It's not about me. God can do what he wants to do through me. So to get my attention, he caused that pain. And I know I was sitting right beside my wife when I had got up. I mean, the pain just shot through me. And I kind of went down like this when I stood up because the pain was so intense. But yet the Lord said, it's about you praying for somebody else. And what we're going to come to understand as we grow and as we mature, as we understand that God wants to show forth his good works in us and through us, that some of the stuff that you find yourself in, it's really not about you. Because he wants you to be able to have compassion on somebody else that's going through a similar situation. I'm going to tell you something. God got my attention when he put that pain in my hip. It wasn't like I was going to dismiss and say, okay, you know, we're not going to have altar call. No, what I did was immediately I began to address that particular issue. There are some times when God will allow a situation to occur in your life that you might be able to speak into the life of someone else. I really come to appreciate that everything that happens in my life happens for a reason. And so when things don't seem to be going right, the first thing I'm asking my Father, Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you showing me? What am I to learn from this experience? Because what's really happening, again, is that fruit aspect when we have something that we can give out to others. But if you've never been through nothing, what you going to give somebody that's going through? How are you going to have compassion on somebody who just lost a loved one or is going through a very trying situation? How are we going to have compassion on them if we don't go through nothing? Listen, if anybody can go through anything, it's the people of God. Read your book. Read the book. It's in here. Look at the children of Israel. All the stuff they went through, and yet God delivered them from them all. Because they needed to have a testimony. They needed to know what God can do. How do I know he can save? How do I know he can deliver? He delivered and saved me. I'm the greatest. I have my experiences become my greatest testimony. And I'm going to close with this one last scripture. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. And here Paul talks about letters. And he talks about they were asking him about his credentials. You know, who authorized you to preach this message of the kingdom? And what school philosophy did you go through? Where did you get your learning from? Who sanctioned your ministry? He says in verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendations from you? He says, in essence, listen to this, you are our epistles, written in our own hearts, known and read by all men. You are our epistles. If a person never, ever picks up the scriptures, he should have read your life. He should have seen your integrity. He should have seen your courage and boldness. Why? Because we are exactly what Paul says, living epistles. Paul preached the gospel. He taught the kingdom. And it transformed the lives of people. So our lives have been transformed. And so our lives have been shaped according to the word of God. Because the average man will never, ever pick up the Bible. We like to sometimes say to folks, go read your Bible. Oh, are you going to tell that to a sinner? Are you going to tell that to somebody who does not have a relationship with the Father and say, go read the Bible? This is a letter written to those who are born again of the Spirit. Because it takes the Spirit to interpret this thing. And even after 20 years of pastoring and ministering, the stuff is still opening up today. It is still being made clear because we're moving from glory to glory to glory. So what I'm trying to point out here is that I live what I preach. I don't just preach a message and go out and do the opposite. What I experience through the Word of God, what I experience through the revelations of God, I've learned to apply these things to my life, and it makes a difference. It changes me. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. Now, if you want to go a little deeper, ask my mama. She'll tell you nothing but the truth. So help her God. She will tell you all the truth, the whole truth. And what did I do? I read other people's lives. When I was telling you about the experience about receiving the Holy Ghost, I saw something. I saw life changes that took place in other young teenagers as myself, and I wanted what I saw them having. And I saw them. I got one young lady just recently came back to our church. I grew up with her back in the 60s. And she was one of those. And I told her Sunday before last, I said, the Lord gave me a word to her to tell her that what the canker worm had eaten, God was about to restore. And her growth was going to be very, very rapid in the Lord. And I mean, she's like, she just wants to eat. She's at every Bible study. She's at every service. And anytime there's something going on, she's there. She wants to be a part of it. And God told me to tell her that she was one of the ones, let me go back. She was one of the ones who I saw the operation of the Holy Spirit in her life at the age of 17 years old. And I was like, I think I was 13 or 14 years old. But I saw her life change. She left, she walked away, and just recently, within the past year or so, she came back to the Lord. Well, my point is this. What got me interested in pursuing after God and crying out for the Holy, I saw her change. I saw her go from one lifestyle to the next lifestyle. Now, I wasn't there when she went back to the other, went backwards again, but she came forward again, is my point. And so God is doing something in her life and causing her life to be read. Her siblings and her friends are amazed of the change that's taken place in her life since last year. What are they doing? People are reading her. They're reading what God can do in their lives. And when they see that, they're eating from the fruit, they're tasting of the fruit, they're seeing that the fruit is good, and it causes them to want and to desire the things that God has done in their lives. As is so it is with us. As we live out this life that God has called us to experience Him on a day-by-day basis, it causes others around me. And please, don't look for the pat on the backs and all of those good compliments. I mean, they're there, but many times people don't say that. They just read you. They just read you. And you know how in Christendom, we sometimes get a bad rap because of what a few might do? Don't worry about that. Because God, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I don't have to worry about defending what somebody else did. All I know is that I'm accountable and I'm responsible for portraying Him in my life on a day-to-day basis. And I'd like to ask that as you begin to see things from God's perspective, You don't get dismayed a lot. You're not troubled a lot. You don't get perplexed a lot. Because you realize that God is doing something in you to make a change in somebody else's life. In my closing, I just want to say in that last verse of 2 Corinthians 3, in that third verse, he says, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on any tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. God changes us by what He writes within our heart. God makes a difference in our lives through the experiences that we go through on a daily basis. Again, the thing that motivates me the most is to see God operating daily. Daily. When the church leaves this building, it's just a building. It's just a building. It's good that we can come together. It's good that we can worship. I enjoy the worship when we can all come together. But when we are dispensed from this place, it's just a building. The church has left the house. And when the church leaves the house, it goes out. And it's like salt in the earth. It's seasoned. It brings seasons to our society. It helps them to understand that they're being preserved because of our presence here. That job that you're working on, that job is blessed simply because you are there. Amen. I believe it with all my heart that we make a difference. We are called to make a difference. We was born to make a difference. And so we look for every opportunity to bring change in the lives of the people that are around us. You are an instrument that God uses to portray and to demonstrate his will in the earth as it is in the heavens. I'm excited. I said it in the beginning and I'll say it now. I wouldn't want to live in any other time than the time that you and I are experiencing today. I was watching Lanny as he was talking about the testimony and tears began to run down his eyes. He's excited because he's seeing God demonstrate himself to his people. We are seeing him on a regular basis. See, I know what we say. Well, I would just like to hear the audible voice of God. I'd just like to see his face. Jesus said, Have I been with you so long that you don't know me? When you see me, you see the Father. And all I'm saying to us, that as the people of God, we're demonstrating and called to put God on display every day. Every day we're called to put God on display. His will be done in the earth as it is in the heavens. The things that you are engaged in currently, what you're going to find out is that God's endorsement upon it, God's signature going to be on it. And as God endorses the things that you are seeing and believing in him, it's going to cause a greater manifestation. It's going to cause a greater expectation. It's going to cause people's eyes to take notice. What's going on over there at Prague? The Spirit of God is in this place every time the people come from far and near. Because God says, I'm going to show myself to this crooked and perverse generation that they be without any excuse. When did we see you? Well, when they saw you, when they see you, you demonstrating and walking in the power of God on a day-by-day basis, people are experiencing the presence of God. I just want you to believe, receive that, and then allow him to do the rest. Because he'll do it. I have nothing to prove to nobody. But I have a God who I want to demonstrate to everybody. I want to show his glory. I want to show his praise. So when we are worshiping and we are acknowledging him, it comes out of an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness. We are blessed above measure. So we're called to make a difference. So what I say, when you leave out of this place, just know that when you walk into the supermarket, when you're going out to the mall, you are there making a difference. You may not get all the pats on the back or you may not get the applause, but I want you to know that you leave an impression upon everybody that you come around because of who you are. And of course, the adversary is going to try to demean the character of what Christians represent. But we ought to know that we are Christ-like. We ought to know that we bear the image of our Father. If we don't know that, then we've given credibility to what the enemy is saying. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's been that. He was born that. He was made to be that. But what he does in true essence is he proves the reality of Christ in operation in our lives on a day-by-day basis. Amen? Why don't we all stand at this time? Father, we are honored and blessed, and we thank you, O God, for the opportunity to share your heart with your people. We anticipate, Lord God, the move of your Holy Spirit. We anticipate change in our lives as we see from your perspective and as we give visibility, Lord God, to your character and to your nature. I would ask, Lord God, that someone, if there's anyone in this room today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may the conviction of your Spirit cause them to run and begin to experience the present reality that's in operation in this place. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you, Lord God, for the revelations that you constantly reveal to us. And may our spirit and our minds be open to the possibility of continual change as you reveal yourself to us. We thank you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just keep standing where you are, please. Bow your head and close your eyes and listen carefully.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're here this morning and you've heard the sound of the Lord calling to you to come into your sonship, you've not made that commitment to Christ, but you're now beginning to understand that the destiny to which you were born was set in place before you entered the womb. If you would like to connect with your Heavenly Father and begin to walk in a life that has purpose, meaning, and joy, I just want you to look up and make eye contact with me because I want to pray for you right where you're standing. If that's you, just look up here and make eye contact. Bless your heart. Thank you. Is there another? Thank you. Is there another? All right, let me pray over you. Father, these who have looked have said, I want to connect. I want to know what this life business is. I want to feel within my own spirit the resonance of my Lord. Father, they have indicated that they want to be restored. They want to be brought home. So in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare that their sins are forgiven. And I say to you, welcome into the family of God. Welcome. Spirit of God, you just meet them right where they are right now and renew their spirits in Jesus' name. If you'd like to have someone come and share some stuff with you, just throw your hand up. Otherwise, Pastor, would you just get right down here on the platform down here and... If you're willing, I'd like to have Pastor Lamont just lay hands on you and pray for you. Those of you who responded to Christ in that call, if you're willing, you don't have to come, but we've prayed. I have declared the word of the Lord's forgiveness over you. If you'd like to have him pray with you, just slip out of where you are and come and let him confirm to you that salvation experience you just encountered with the Lord. Now then, for the rest of you, there's some things here that I want you to recognize. There is this word of the Lord. In fact, Rhonda, why don't you come and share that with us? There's something going on here.